Good evening, everyone. Glad to see so many here this evening. As we begin our meeting, just want you to know that, of course, you can speak on any issue that's on the agenda, and we'd like to your comments, if you will. And we certainly appreciate you being here with us this evening. We begin our meeting with the council prayer and then pledge of allegiance to our flag. Almighty and gracious God, we come to you this evening with praise and gratitude in our hearts for the many blessings you've bestowed on our community. We give you thanks for the opportunities to serve our community on council, and we are thankful for our citizens who are with us this evening, and all those who volunteer and give so willingly of their time in serving our city in so many important ways. Tonight we ask for your guidance and wisdom as we conduct the business of the city in service to our citizens. Please be with us, Lord, as we discuss the issues before us, and we pray that we will make those decisions that are needed and are in the best interest of our citizens and community. For it is in your holy name we pray, and we give you the honor and the glory. Amen. Amen.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item of business this evening is consideration of the minutes of the February 11th, 2013 regular meeting. Do we have a motion and a second for approval?
I so move.
Second? Second. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor?
I won't vote, Mr. Mayor. I wasn't here, so I don't.
Okay. Well, it passes almost unanimously.
Almost. One. Okay.
Under old business, first item is appointments and discussion of appointments to city boards, commissions, and committees. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Councilmember Ebner recommended Jason Raven for appointment to the Recreation Commission. That position was vacated by John Brookshire. That term would expire September 1, 2014. Mr. Raven's information is included in your agenda packet. We also have the information about the other vacancies on other boards, commissions, and committees for council's consideration. So for your approval tonight is the appointment of Jason Raven to the Recreation Commission.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
I'll move.
Second.
Okay, all right. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor?
I didn't get who the second was.
It passes unanimously.
Did you have any other nominations?
Yes. Do we have any other nomination or nominations for our next meeting, I should say?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to put in for reappointment of Catherine Thomas to the Arts Commission, please.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay, that will appear on the agenda for the next meeting. 2 weeks. Item 2 is the second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to approve the transfer of lease rights from H.N. Willing to Ryan Martin and Allie Burgess, Martin, regarding a tract of land near Mason Branch Reservoir.
Here, please. Thank you, Mayor. The title of the ordinance is an ordinance approving assignment of a lease between the City of Aiken and H.N. Willing to Ryan and Allie Burgess Martin. Ms. Rideout actually has the 50-acre tract of land up on the screen, and on the right you'll see in the lower right-hand corner there's the roadway that is leased from the City of Aiken, that right-of-way. Mr. Willing is in advancing years, and he's ready to sell this property to his nephew and his niece by marriage. And they're working out that, but in order for the purchasers, it is Ryan and Sorry.
Allie.
That's right, Allie, right.
Allie.
Yeah, sorry, Allie. But for Ryan and Allie to purchase a property, they have to get a loan from the bank, of course, and the bank's requiring that they be able to show an express easement to the property. So by assigning the lease and the easement to them, that will allow that transfer and the loan to go through. That passed unanimously at your meeting on February 11th, and it's on second reading and public hearing tonight for approval.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
Mr. Mayor, I move we approve an ordinance approving assignment of a lease between the City of Aiken and H.N. Willing to Ryan and Allie Burgess Martin.
Okay.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
We have a second as well. Okay, any discussion? If not, show hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Okay. Thank you. On the new business, first reading of an ordinance to annex 0.5 acres owned by Dale Peterson and Andrea Wells, located at 912 Banks Mill Road, and zone it limited business. Mr. Pierce.
Thank you, Mayor. The title of the ordinance is an ordinance to annex to the corporate limits of the City of Aiken certain property consisting of 0.5 acres, more or less, owned by Dale Peterson and Andrea Wells, and to zone the same limited business LB. This property is at the address that you described, Mayor, 912 Banksville Road. It's approximately a half an acre. The annexation application was filed with the Planning Department and went before the Planning Commission on February 12, 2013. They have unanimously voted to recommend annexing the property and zoning it limited business upon the four conditions being met that I've listed in my memo, and I believe they're contained in the ordinance as well. That includes removal of trash and debris from the site, significant or grand trees. Should they be removed, they have to have prior approval of a landscape plan by the city. Owners would sign a document agreeing to these conditions and recording that at the Register of Deeds on Richland Avenue. And the conditions must be met within 180 days of final City Council approval. This is first reading of the ordinance. Should Council approve this, we would bring that back on March 11th for second reading and public hearing. But for tonight, it's first reading of an ordinance to annex this half acre and zone it limited business. I did provide Council with the chart that shows the permitted uses in the LB limited business zone.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second? Second for approval.
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
I second.
All right. Get that? We had 2 seconds.
We did.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. Are there any discussion on this item? Is there? If not, show hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Item 2 is the first reading of an ordinance to amend the zoning ordinance regarding commercial business temporarily outdoor storage. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. The title of the ordinance is an ordinance amending the City of Aiken zoning ordinance at the request of the Board of Zoning Appeals regarding temporary outdoor storage. In your packet, you have a memo from the chair of the Board of Zoning Appeals. I was trying to find the page. Yes, from Larry Ogletree. It's on page 68 of the materials. And what he says they are experiencing is several businesses, several commercial enterprises in the city limits, particularly at holiday time, other times of year, have these temporary trailers. They've been used, for example, for storing layaway items during the holiday season, and then in the spring and summer for the storage of pine straw bales for sale to the public. And Mr. Ogletree particularly cites three different sections in the zoning ordinance, section 4.3.3.C, section 4.3.4, and section 3.4.2.F. Our city attorney has looked at these requests, and as a result of his review on a legal basis, has recommended a potential amendment to section 4.3.3.C of the zoning ordinance. That's titled Outdoor Storage, Temporary. And you'll see on page 65 of the materials, which immediately follows the memo I provided Council, The recommendation is to have the Planning Commission consider allowing the period of the presence of the temporary portable storage, not just for 3 days, but from November 1st to December 31st each year. And to have the building official determine what would be an appropriate number of these temporary units based on the space that is proposed for the location of them. What council has done in the past with these requests for amendments to the zoning ordinance, and this is appropriate under the zoning ordinance according to our city attorney, is to go ahead and pass the ordinance on first reading, then refer that to Planning Commission for their consideration, review, and then recommendation. We would not bring it back to council for a second reading until we had that in hand. And that is very appropriate. And there would be an opportunity for public comment. And for that matter, folks from the Board of Zoning Appeals could explain their situation to Planning Commission as they review this proposed amendment. Certainly, if there's a recommendation to have other additional language, some different language, that would be completely appropriate when the ordinance comes back. But for consideration tonight, in order to get this process going, it's first reading of an ordinance with a proposed amendment to the zoning ordinance.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve this ordinance to amend the zoning regarding commercial business temporary outdoor storage for these businesses.
Okay, I'll second it. Is there any discussion? If not,
it's going to go to the Planning Commission and then come back to us. So
right.
Yes, sir.
They can deal.
I was just going to say we would not have it on second reading until they actually had a recommendation for council.
Right.
So the Planning Commission will deal with the location and the number and the type and so forth.
They certainly can, or they can defer to the building official as it's currently drafted. It's whatever recommendation they would have.
Well, what we're voting on is actually changing the zoning ordinance, not the request.
That's right. It would be an amendment to the zoning ordinance.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Okay.
Yes.
Sure.
Okay,
thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Sure. Any other discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passage unanimously. Item 3 is a resolution to adopt the South Carolina Department of Archives and History Protocol for records retention. Mr. Pierce, please.
Mayor, thank you very much. This is a resolution entitled "A Resolution to Establish a Records Retention Policy for the Aiken Department of Public Safety." In the past, this has come from other departments as well as your city clerk as far as records retention. With paper documents, we have limited space, and it seems like an endless supply of paper documents that we keep on hand. And Greg Carter is our records division supervisor, does an excellent job for us. And he actually is on a committee, state committee, that works with the Department of Archives and History. And they develop a record retention schedule. And you will see there are various different documents that are contained in this records retention schedule. The Department of Archives and History helped us develop that. And as far as putting it in place under our accreditation, Commission on Accreditation for Law Enforcement Agencies, that's CALEA standards. Of course, they inspect those records, and the Archives and History Department has taken a look at those requirements, state law, and developed the schedule that is attached. And the Department of Archives and History has requested that the governing body for the city of Aiken approve this retention schedule. Again, staff has looked at that. Chief Baranco has reviewed it with his command staff and has asked that council approve this. We've discussed it, and it is appropriate for approval, and certainly Chief Baranco's here if there are any questions. But this is just a request for council by resolution to approve this retention schedule.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
I make a motion that we approve the resolution to adopt the South Carolina Department of Archives and History Protocol for Public Safety Records Retention Schedule.
Second. Okay, very good. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Pass unanimously. Okay, under petitions and requests, of course, we've got a petition by the residents of Dim Lakes Extension Subdivision regarding roadways. Before we go any further, I've just got a very brief couple of comments to make, if I may. We are, as I said earlier, we are glad that you're here so that we can have this discussion this evening. And there's been a lot said and for a long time, and so it gives us this opportunity. I just want you to know that City Council and the City Manager staff want you to know that your concern is our concern. We want the problems fixed as soon as possible, and as I'm sure the developers do too. The city has worked along with the developers to solve the problem and will continue to do so until they are solved. We think there are other things that can be done that will be discussed this evening. I noticed a few comments in the community handout, which many of you received, and I would like to very briefly, address four of them. The statement, time to get angry or meekly accept the roads as they are, we don't want you to do either of those. Anger will not solve the problem or help anything. And accepting the roads as they are is not the right thing to do either. The city has not accepted the roads and won't until it's proven that they are in good condition and have to be proved that they're in good condition over a period of time. The roads are owned by Mr. Gall and Mr. Kisner, and they have indicated they will work to get them right. The statement, you are paying taxes for roads the city won't repair. As I mentioned before, the roads are not city roads. They are owned by the developers. And no citizen should be paying taxes on those roads. We want you to know that we do care for your home investments and your neighborhood, and we will support the developers in any way we can as they continue to work to complete the job. Again, thank you for being here this evening, and we look forward to a discussion on this issue. Mr. Pierce, please.
Mayor, thank you very much. I have provided council with a cover memo, and in that you'll see that we met last summer. Actually, we had a pretty severe, as I recall, summer thunderstorm while we were out there. And Mr. Gall, Mr. Kisner were present, Mr. Morris and I were there and had a discussion about a path forward with a concern about the roads that were in the Jim Lakes extension area, particularly on Moultrie and Huron Streets. At that time, we had a question from the residents about water that was occurring in the roads and some concern that maybe some of the water line infrastructure was actually leaking and that was a cause of some of the problems. And we indicated to the residents that we would have sonar work done, so we had ground penetrating radar, GPR, studies that were performed out in the subdivision, and from those studies determined that the water sources were either from household irrigation systems or naturally occurring water. We were unable to locate any leaking water infrastructure there. As a result of that, we've had a conversation, staff has, with the developers. They're aware of the water problem as well. It's my understanding that they are the developers are under contract with CSRA Engineering. And CSRA Engineering is looking at this situation to develop potential fixes to keep the water out of the roadway. In addition to the sonar work that was done, George Grinton on staff has worked with the company that the developers hired to patch different areas of the roadway. There was an option under the approved development plans for a 6-inch stone base under the roadways. That was, as I understand it, done in the area of the detention pond for the development. And there's sand and clay base under the rest of the roadway system. There were some concerns in the petition expressed that the roads be as the roads were in other areas of Jim Lakes. we have researched and looked back. Phase J of Gem Lakes was done in 1983. That was Spring Valley Drive, Springwood Drive, and Glenwood Drive. Phase N, which was Lakeside Drive from Savannah Drive to the cul-de-sac, and the Oaks sections of Gem Lakes done in 1992, all had sand clay-based roads in the subdivision. We spoke with the engineer Tilden Hildebrand that worked with the developers on the original development, and our understanding from those conversations is that that sand clay base is something that is also approved in the county for road bases. There were certainly some cracked up portions of the road, and as I say, Mr. Grinton worked with the developers. In that area, there was, as I understand, a 24-inch deep installation of gravel that was proof tested, and then the asphalt was put on. As you see from the petition and the photographs that are included in that, immediately next to some of the patches, and then in a couple of the patches, you do see some cracking roadway. And again, that was the reason for the sonar study with the ground penetrating radar. And the belief is that an engineering firm is going to have to look at this occurrence of water in the roadway. The water is the common enemy. And as far as looking at the other roads in the subdivision, we looked at Lakeside Drive, certainly the older sections of Moultrie and Huron and Lakeside, and saw where those roads have been patched over time as well. Again, the conversation that we're having with the developers is ongoing. Our understanding is with the result of the radar study and with the hiring of this engineering firm, that the developer does not yet have a report in hand, but will be receiving a report and using that to do further work on the roadways either late spring or sometime this summer. But I'm sure council wants to hear from the residents. That's just some information by way of background.
May I have two questions before we open it up?
Okay.
One is, do you know if the developer who owns the roads have kept the community informed about the progress, the things that have been going on as this information was unveiled?
Mr. Kisner's here. He'd have to answer that,
okay.
Ms. Price.
Okay.
I don't know. I know that the city has done this work. I sent a letter in October. I followed that up with an additional letter that I gave a copy to council just to show what we were doing. I know there were some ongoing conversations by Mr. Decker, at a minimum, with Mr. Grinton and with Mr. Morris.
Okay.
I do know that when the company was out actually cutting out the sections of the roadway that had the cracks in them,
okay,
that I believe Mr. Decker, maybe other residents in the subdivision, actually talked with that contractor and had conversations with Mr. Kisner as well, but he could speak to that.
Okay. Second piece is that I may be getting ahead of the curve here, but based on what Mr. Ebner said, based on our standards and the construction of the roads, has that been resolved? Reggie, I think you've mentioned that to me.
I think what we've done is certainly we have a road development standard.
Okay.
And that's what we use to develop a punch list.
Okay.
After the roads were put in, a punch list was developed. When we met with the residents last summer, and I reaffirmed in my letter in October, that the developer had a punch list of items to address prior to our approving the roads and then starting a one-year warranty period. We're still not in the warranty period because the punch list is still being worked on since we still had the recurrence of the water. And our understanding from the developers is that the CSRA engineering group would be working on some potential installations that would help abate that water concern.
Yeah, I think the key word there is reoccurring in places out there, and that's one of the real issues, that is the reoccurrence of the same type thing caused by the water.
Okay. Yeah. Mr. Decker, would you like to speak, or anyone?
If I can, Mr. Fairchild is actually going to give the presentation.
Okay.
Mr. Fairchild is going to present the petition that the neighbors have signed. There's been a lot of background work, especially since August when we had the meeting out at the Gem Lakes Pavilion. And I think, Mr. Mayor, like you typically do, is Mr. Fairchild will present the petition. You normally ask for comments from any of the residents or anybody in attendance here. Then what I would really suggest, if it's okay, is have Mr. Morris state the facts and stuff from his position with the city. And he'll expound on some of the things that's already been said.
Sure.
And has some other comments
to
make.
Do we want
to
have, we'll have the residents speak first, and then Larry get up and speak, Mr. Morris get up and speak? And
yeah, have the petition, then the residents speak, and then Mr. Morris.
Sure. And if I could just add there, Mr. Kisner is here, and I know is available to answer questions from council.
Right, certainly.
Okay.
And the petition actually appears at page 104 in your material.
Yes, sir, Mr. Fairchild.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. If it pleases the council, would you like for me to read the background information, about five paragraphs of background information?
Oh, certainly. Well, whatever you want to do.
Okay, because I believe this is a part of it, and we'd like for it to be in the record.
Jim, just say, would you get to page 116, I think is what Mr. Fairchild is referring to, and I think it'd be good to be up on the screen if you wait just a second.
Page 104? Background information petition to honorable mayor and members.
It is. It's page 104. It's both places. Excuse me. 104, please, Ms. Sarah. Let her get
it,
that.
It's we've got it, Mr. Fairchild. It's okay. She just has to pull it up.
Okay. That way, Jim, everybody can follow you as you go along, and then she can go to each page as you request it to be turned.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Council. And I'll wait for us to get this.
Yeah, it'll come up in just a minute. It's page 104.
It's not the same.
Oh, it's this page here.
105.
Yeah, that's it. It'll be after that. I think that's that way, just to keep going. There it is there. That's it there. That page.
There it is.
There we go.
That's it.
Okay.
And I'll just read it as it's written. Prior to the City of Aiken permitting, the city was presented with plans and design specifications for infrastructure improvements that would occur in the Jim Lakes Extension development. Approval for development of the Jim Lakes Extension was contingent on city approval of these plans. Designs for the roads and other infrastructure improvements were compiled by licensed engineers, submitted and approved by the city. It was intended that these roads were to be deeded to the City of Aiken, but only after inspections showed them meeting design specifications. It was public and common knowledge that the roads would not remain in private hands. But 4 years after initial paving, the roads are still in private hands and have still not passed inspections. It is not clear why permitting and development was allowed to go forth when infrastructure and repairs to deficient infrastructure could pass neither inspections nor dedication attempts. Disintegration of the roads began immediately after initial paving and before any development had occurred. Since that time, the roads have continued to crack and break apart despite having been repaired many times. It may be logical to conclude that either the plans submitted to the City of Aiken were faulty in design or did not take into consideration issues that arose or the implementation of the plans was not properly carried out or a combination of the two. A properly engineered, paved, and inspected road should, before massive failures occur, have a life expectancy that exceeds a few months or years. Claims have been offered that the problems were known early on and that permanent repairs would be forestalled until the completion of construction. However, knowledge of ongoing problems did not stop attempts to have the roads dedicated to the city of Aiken on at least one occasion. The roads have satisfied neither residents nor the city of Aiken, and numerous attempts to rectify the problems and past city of Aiken inspections have failed. Importantly, attempted repairs have left the roads an unsightly and disgraceful mess, which does not meet the expectation of homeowners and citizens, all whom have made significant investments in the purchase of Jim Lake's extension properties. The repairs and leaving the roads without repaving should not satisfy the city of Aiken or elected officials either. To date, both the developer and the city of Aiken engineering department are on record as not understanding what is causing the roads to deteriorate, be that from a singular cause, such as water undermining the road, or from a combination of problems. To date, there has been no comprehensive forensic engineering study which addresses the causes of the failures. Even without such an engineering study, in a letter dated October 4, 2012, Mr. Richard Pierce, the City of Aiken manager, has proposed a six-point plan to address the road issues within the Jim Lakes extension. A copy of that letter is attached for those who have not seen it. The petition.
Better change the page if you would, the next page. So, got it. Yep. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Thank you.
We, the undersigned, do not find the October 4th, 2012 plan as outlined by Mr. Richard Pierce, the Aiken City Manager, to be complete and meeting our expectations. We, the undersigned, believe that because of the long history of failures of these roads, that the City of Aiken should require that an independent forensic engineering study be performed on the roads in this development, that the purpose of doing such a study is to ensure that the roads will be properly repaired, and that lacking such a study, City of Aiken taxpayers will quite likely be faced with hidden costs and higher taxation, which will be needed to effect repairs after dedication of the roads to the City of Aiken has occurred. We, the undersigned, in the strongest of terms possible, further state that after engineered repairs are completed, that any solution which does not include resurfacing of the roads will not suffice nor meet our demands. We, the undersigned, therefore appeal and respectfully request that the City of Aiken Mayor, the Honorable Fred Cavanaugh, and our City of Aiken Councilman, Mr. Reggie Ebner, should take up this cause to ensure that our concerns and demands will be brought before the City of Aiken Council in order that there will be a successful conclusion to our concerns. We, the undersigned, also request that we should be kept fully informed of the dates of any meetings regarding these roads, and that this be done in advance so the citizens may allocate time to attend in order that our views may be heard and recorded, and that any further proposals regarding the roads and repairs or any other actions contemplated to resolve the aforementioned issues be disseminated to the residents. We, the undersigned, further state that we have read the above petition, that we are in agreement as to the actions requested, that we are residents of the City of Aiken, County of Aiken, State of South Carolina, and that we are legally entitled to sign this petition, and that we have not signed this petition more than once. Thank you, Mayor and Council.
Thank you, sir. Fairchild, I introduced you. Would you? I think we're supposed to have you introduce yourself, and you could give your occupation, please. I kind of cut you off in the beginning.
I'm Jim Fairchild. I'm the pastor of Southside Free Will Baptist Church.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. At this point in time, would anyone else like to speak? We could have, okay. Mr. Decker.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, Council Members, City Manager. I'm retired. I moved to Aiken several years ago. I view the issue that's before us as a city responsibility, that the members of the council are elected by the citizens to ensure that the roads and infrastructure in this city will meet standards. The city council proposes regulations. The city manager is to enforce those regulations. We could talk all night about how we've gotten here. And I have scoured the records extensively. The land use regulations, the bonding regulations, I could just go on and on. I don't know if that serves a large purpose at this point. What we need is for the city to honor its commitment to its citizens to provide us with a road that matches in visually and structurally the roads surrounding us in Gem Lakes. Anyone who has traveled down that road, and I believe several council members have traveled on that road, can attest to that road's condition. There is no other road in any other development, and I've talked to people within the press, I've talked to other people who have traveled the roads in Aiken, there's no other roads in this city in a new development that are faced with what we're faced with out there. Mr. Kisner and Mr. Gall have attempted to repair the problems. They've made numerous attempts to repair the problems going back 4 years. Those attempts have not succeeded. We need, as the petition asked for, an independent engineering study so that we can know what it is that needs to be fixed. We can't, I think initially it was, well, we have some cracks in the road and we have some problems and we'll do some patching. But we now have third generation patches out there, patches on top of patches on top of patches. We have patches that were assured to us in August that this was going to take care of the problem. I was out the other day. I believe the mayor was out the other day. I can testify quite clearly that there are patches now that are sinking and cracking. There are all areas around the patches that are sinking and cracking again. If it's water, yes, maybe. But water might have been taken care of if the 6 inches of gravel that was called for in the specifications was followed. Somehow that 6 inches of gravel isn't there. We can contemplate that maybe that wouldn't have taken care of the problem, but certainly having gravel that would maybe channel the water underneath the road away from the problem area might have helped. My request of the council is that the council honor its obligations to the citizens to provide us with the roads that we have every right to expect in this city, that every resident has to expect in this city. I don't have anything more to say. I believe the petition states our request quite clearly.
So I didn't get your name.
Richard Decker.
Are there any questions of Mr. Decker at this time? All right. We certainly appreciate, again, the comments that you have. We do. I think we'll get in. We'll ask Mr. Kisner to come up at some point here, unless there's still some others that want to speak right now, and he can tell us what's new, assuming I think there is something new. I think the dilemma that we may all have, I know I do, is you just can't stop right now because there is work going on. I think there are some good things going on, will be going on. Who is going to step in and do it and know any more than these gentlemen and who they have working with them at this point? This is a very interesting and strange situation. You know, at first we were told that we had pipes leaking, and that was determined that was not found to be the case. I truly think it is water getting under the ground myself. Is it coming from the is it coming from the houses? Is it coming from the grass? Just what, you know? I don't know. We were talking earlier. I don't know either. But perhaps, to me, the people that know the most, and I know they've been at it, I think they've tried as hard as they can. These two men have a wonderful reputation in the city of Aiken, and I know that they want to do the best they can and get this fixed.
And, but I might respond, Mr. Mayor.
Sure, go ahead.
The water is indeed running off of the properties onto the road. That is by design. By city code, the water is not allowed to flow onto your neighbor's property. So there are swales installed that channel the water onto the road. We then pay a storm sewer fee to have that water removed. There is virtually no place else for the water to go. I mean, where you have a piece of property, obviously the water has to go somewhere. It's either going to go on your neighbor's property, which we're forbidden to do, or it's going to go out to the street. And that's how, by design, those swales that are being installed in new developments are to channel that water out onto the street. Yes, it could be that it's water. We don't know, as you say. We're not totally sure exactly what the total cause of this is, and that's why, to date, the attempts to repair the problem have not addressed the issues, because the issues were not known. And as late as August, at a meeting in Gem Lakes, both the city engineer and Mr. Kisner stood up and said, we don't know exactly what's causing this road to deteriorate. The issue that I had with Mr. Pierce's solution, his letter outlining what steps were to be taken, were that we were going to be faced with is, we have a horrific road with patches on top of patches, and the solution was, we're going to put more patches in. Mm-hmm. I'm just appalled. That's just not acceptable. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, why don't we let Mr. Kisner, would you like to say anything at this point?
I'm Steve Kisner. I honestly, with all due respect, didn't come prepared to make any comments. I was just made aware of this meeting about 6 or 7 days ago. So, I think to sum it up, we are aware there are problems with the roads. We continue to try to determine the causes for the failures of the roads. We're currently in working with CSRA Engineering out of Augusta and Hassan Hildebrand here in Aiken. We continue to take all the information, and quite frankly, we're learning a lot by watching and observing what's happening to the work that we've done in an attempt to repair the roads. You can learn a lot by knowing what you did to the patches that were different than what you did in the original installation, and evaluate the deterioration of those patches, and that is helpful. Certainly, as you go forward and try to determine what you do next as far as patching goes. We have a lot of data. The city has provided us with some data. CSRA continues to provide us with some data, and Hassan Hildebrand continues to provide data. And the current plan is to go through the spring, go through the rainy season, do more observations, and then this early summer make a determination of what we're going to do as far as further repairs. That's all I have.
Let me ask you a question. If water is coming down, and I understand it is, coming down from the houses, from the yards, mm-hmm. getting in there, and if we know that as a fact, and if the water is going down into the road, into the sandy part of the road or whatever, is there any way to put something down deep, like so, I don't know what it's called, but that the water would not go down into the road. It would go down into the earth, and it may end up in the road, truly, mm-hmm. but it might be 4-5 feet under where it wouldn't cause a problem. Is there such a thing as that, to your knowledge?
There is. First of all, we did install French drains on both sides of Moultrie from one end to the other. Unfortunately, they don't seem to be effective. I think Larry's got some information on what you're talking about that he could relate to us. Personally, I'm not familiar with it, but it's like a barrier that you put to prevent the moisture from migrating underneath the road system. As recently as about 45 days ago, we did some borings up to 3 feet deep, and we saw the moisture content of the subgrade being very consistent from directly under the asphalt all the way to 3 feet. And some of the testing that we got and results from that the city provided shows that the moisture level is pretty consistent up to 6 feet under the roads. When those roads were paved, we were in a pretty severe drought time. And we're one of the observations and one of the some of the input we've gotten is that with the rain we've gotten in the last 12 to 18 months, that the water table has changed, and now we've got a moisture or water problem under the roads that we didn't have when we paved the roads. And that's, again, something we have to take a look at.
Yeah. Do you think there's any way really to solve this problem until we stop that water from getting under the road?
I don't think we're going to ever solve the problem by trying to stop the water from going under the road, no.
But the way we're
going to stop the problem is to put a product there or a road base there, a road structure there that can stand up to the situation under the road.
And what would that consist of?
We're going to continue. That's why I said it's important that we evaluate the patching that we've done to see how that holds up, and then we can determine what the next step is.
Would you describe the problem being attributed to development and the runoff, as Mr. Decker has implied, with development? That water has to have some place to go, and it's the roads that it ends up?
Well, certainly the type of development we have there is not what was originally planned, and I can only say that the home builder has gone in and lowered the lots and tiered the lots and taking a lot of, in some cases, lowered the elevation of the lots up to 5 or 6 feet. And that dirt has been removed and placed on other lots, and I think that has added to the problem as far as the water table and the amount of water that's coming from the upper section of Jim Lakes down to our road. Originally, we were going to build houses on crawl spaces, and all of the homes that are built there are on slabs. Hmm. So there has to be a lot of excavation done in order for that to happen.
Mm-hmm. I heard a lot about patching. Has the road, the entire road, ever been resurfaced or just patched?
No, there has been, in one occasion, we did do an overlay on the road, yes, on one section of it. Mm-hmm.
So you think, I'm trying to see what's working here that's going to, I know you've mentioned this before while you've been talking, you're learning things from some of the other patches that have failed.
Right.
And you think by what time in the year would you have more knowledge, so to speak?
The current plan is to make a final assessment by the end of the spring.
Okay.
And do the repairs that we need to do this summer of 2013.
And what's your confidence level at this point in time? I know that's a crazy question, but when all that happens, what you're learning, and then to make the changes, you feel pretty good about that?
I think that we can provide patches that will stand up. But what I'm hearing from the residents is they want a uniform, consistent road that is doesn't have patches, and that's just not going to happen. It's just, it can't. I mean, we can't make patches and then make it look like it doesn't have patches.
Yeah. Well, unless you find a way to stop that water from going into the road or under the road, as you say, how can it ever be for a sure thing that you're not going to have some failure, in, even if it's in years to come?
That's a good assessment. Obviously, we've had failures from the beginning, so I don't think we would ever be able to guarantee there aren't going to be failures, but I really don't think this is a forum in where we should get into discussing what the engineers are going to recommend to us, but I would be glad to come back to council with what we plan to do before we do it, if that's acceptable.
Yeah, certainly. We don't want to try to engineer this thing right now.
Right.
Are there any other questions by anyone?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Are you ready for Ms. I think
some of the residents? We need to hear from some other citizens.
Sure.
Mr. Mayor, City Council, I appreciate the opportunity. My name is Jim Williams. I'm a regional manager in the elevator trade, and I live on Moultrie Drive. And what I'd like to say is kind of a little bit deviating from the rest of the group here. We have roads. We have patches. Okay? We don't want our patches fixed. We want our roads fixed. We don't want new patches on a bad road. We want a road that is fair and correct so that we can appreciate the investments that we make in this community. Nobody built this house, their house, with the expectation that they'd look out their front door in less than 2 years and see the roads falling apart. If the work wasn't done ahead of time, those houses should never have been built. We didn't sign on for that. Nobody in this room would sign on for that. It's disgusting to look at. We know there's a problem. Patching is not solving the problem. It's patching the problem. Let's fix the problem. Let's get it right. Let's put the road back the way we intended, the way they intended. I'm not here to badmouth Mr. Kisner, Mr. Gall. I appreciate their effort, and they do have an outstanding record in this community. I didn't spend my hard-earned money on a subpar home and walk away and let the builder just say, okay, well, I'll just deal with it. They fixed the problems that I compensated them for. If the houses weren't built the way they were intended to be built, that would have been solved before a single house was sold. That's not our problem as homeowners. We didn't have that day in court to sit down and make sure that all those things were attended to before we signed the dotted line and gave them our money. We've heard the last 12 to 18 months the roads have been deteriorating. In May, I will have been in my home for 2 years. I was one of the first homes on this new extension in Moultrie. I've heard everything from the house across the street waters their yard too much, to heavy road traffic. We've heard numerous things. The bottom line is nothing so far has lived up to what we're entitled to. If I was given the time to adjust my taxes and say, well, you know, I got an assessment because my neighbor's house is really nice and he takes care of his yard, but I'm not going to pay my taxes right now because, you know, maybe I'll pay him. It wouldn't be acceptable. You would want me to pay what I'm due. The grading of the lots, that should have been discussed before we were able to purchase those homes. If we don't know what the true problem is, but we're forced to live, we can't change this. And we're forced to accept whatever's handed down to me is unacceptable. We ask for your help. We ask for your guidance. If you drive that road and you invested the money that we, some of us, this is all we're going to have. Some people put their life savings into it. Others, it's a stepping stone. But if you invested and you had to walk out the front door every day and see the things that we see and hear and put up with the dialogue, I too think you'd find it's unacceptable. Thank you.
Mr. Williams, question please, before you go. Do you know what the problem is and how to fix it?
Again, I don't know what the problem is. I stated that very early on.
Well, these two gentlemen that own the whole complex, and that's part of their life. That's part of their, hopefully, the money that they will get eventually. Do you not think that they're trying as hard as they can to determine what the problem is
and then
fix it?
It's
easy for me, too, to stand up anywhere and say, I want the problem fixed. The problem needs to be fixed. They want it fixed, too. They would have liked to have it fixed a long time ago.
Mr. Mayor, we were told that these were going to be put up for the maintenance last fall. We're now hearing it's going to be summer.
Do you think it's their fault or the city's fault that this is happening to this area? The key thing I want to know is, do you think we're doing all we can to get the problem fixed? You just heard he's working with an engineering company now to help. They're learning from what's happened before. If anyone knows what the problem is and how to fix it, we want to hear about it. Anybody out there and anywhere. If you know how to fix it overnight or in the next month or the last 2 months, and we want to hear about it. I'm sure Mr. Kisner wants to hear about it.
Mr. Mayor, what I'm expressing is the frustration of many of the homeowners whose signatures you see there. If I have the answers, I would have brought them to Mr. Gall and Mr. Kisner.
And I
don't proclaim to have those answers.
Jim, I understand that. I've got patches on my road. Just about every road in Jim Lake has a patch on it. My mother lived out there for years and on Lakeside Drive, and there are patches on Lakeside Drive. And I'm not proposing or supposing that every road needs a patch. But sometimes it's going to happen, you know. And it's going to happen, and I think these guys probably are working as hard as they can. And they're seeking help from other people and an engineering company now. We have that dilemma too, the same as you do. We don't like these things to go on for years. This is not something we want to be up at council meeting talking about.
I think, Mr. Mayor, the concern that I have is I think maybe you're misunderstanding where I'm coming from. Patches have not worked repeatedly. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, I think so. I've been out there four different times over the course of the last couple of years, you know. And
we have several different generations of patches. And there's no question that Mr. Gall and Mr. Kisner have worked towards solving this matter. I could put myself in their shoes. I'd want to fix yesterday. There's no question there.
Right, right.
That being said, we have several different generations of patches throughout the different areas. Some places, like Mr. Kisner stated, have been dug out, tore out, bigger sections. Okay. So now you've heard the term patchwork, and quilt, and so on. But you don't have a correct road. You have pieces that different things have been tried. Mm-hmm. And again, my concern is, if we find this piece works, what about all of this piece? That's my concern.
Well, hopefully those are going to work too, but that's not necessarily true because the water perhaps is going different places and at different levels in the ground. I'm anxious to hear what Mr. Morris has to say in a few minutes about what we talked about just very briefly, you know, about blocking the water and going down.
Mr. Mayor, if I could make a comment.
Certainly.
I think we need to keep in context that these folks have been dealing with this issue for 4 years. I don't think anybody has had anything negative to say about the developer, but they certainly have a lot negative to say about their roads.
Mm-hmm.
And they're frustrated,
mm-hmm.
And they're coming to us asking for help, and I think we need to continue to listen, but 4 years is 4 years. I would like to think that the city of Aiken, when it approves a development, would be able to ensure that proper roads are being built. I can empathize with these folks. You buy a house and you're looking and you see all you see is a patchwork of road, and is all you've heard is excuses, and nobody's been able to positively determine what the problem is. So I think we need to recognize that there's a lot of impatience in the room tonight, and I think it's our job. We approved this development, and obviously something has gone haywire somewhere. I don't know where, but the fact remains they got bad roads, and they got money invested, and the city is part of that process, so we need to look within ourselves as well.
Absolutely, and I hope I haven't said anything that contrary to what you've said.
Well, I get
certainly, understand that. But I think there's the other side to this thing, too. Do you, and I'll ask you, Dick, do you think these folks are not doing all they can do?
I don't know. I'm not an engineer.
Okay.
I'm not an engineer.
I don't either.
But the city engineer has been involved in this often enough. The CSRA company has been involved in it. I don't know, and probably a lot of the residents don't know, and they don't even necessarily want to know. They just want the road fixed.
Absolutely.
And it's got to be some kind of engineering issue. I mean, it would seem to me, if you've got water, there has to be a way to deal with it, because the rest of the roads in the city aren't well. I won't say all the roads in the city are good. We have problems elsewhere, but typically we've been able to build good, satisfactory roads. So whatever the problem is, 4 years is a long time to wait.
Certainly.
That's all I agree.
I recognize, Mr. Mayor, that Mr. Williams was trying to... My comment was that I recognize that Mr. Williams was trying to exercise a great deal of diplomacy as he... had his responses, but perception is reality, and I don't know whether you perceive that all of us, including the city, is in this together to resolve the problem or not, and if so, state that we're all in this together, and I tend to think that we are, given that we had a part in it, but we don't own the roles, we had a part in that. And so that is the feeling of the community and the neighborhood we need to know. Secondly, 4 years is a long time, 2 years is a long time. And if you're getting one excuse after another, you're wondering what's valid? What's the real deal here? And I'm wondering, I asked the question of our city manager, how much information, because oftentimes if someone is trying to handle a problem, they're meeting with the community, you're informed. You tend to be a little bit patient in terms of knowing that somebody is trying to resolve the issue. And I'm wondering whether that was done with the community. Can somebody answer that question for me?
We asked for a meeting. We had a community meeting. Mr. Pierce came, Mr. Morris came, Mr. Gomes, Kidman. In the purpose of that meeting was so that we could educate...
I think she wants to probably get you on the... Sarah, you want him on the mic?
We did ask for a meeting, and we had a meeting where Mr. Pierce, Mr. Gall, Mr. Kisner, Mr. Morris, many of the neighborhood residents came to try to educate ourselves and ask some questions, because the frustration level was high.
Mm-hmm.
We're a new community within an old community trying to build it together. And we worked amongst each other to come up with, what do we do here?
What's the answer?
What's the answer? Mm-hmm. How do we get it accomplished? It has never been our goal as a community to throw anybody under the bus.
Right.
The frustration has come simply because, again, we invest our hard-earned money. We expect something for it. And the simple questions did not generate simple answers or solutions. Has it moved at the time frame that we expected? Well, let's be honest with each other. If it was fixed yesterday, it would have been too long. Okay? We did have the meeting. Mr. Pierce sent a letter out several months later. The things have not gone according to plan. Is that a good thing? Perhaps. But again, the frustration when you have nothing but more deterioration every day that you see it, that's where it comes from. We've had the technical details researched. We've had a million emails going back and forth to the point where some of us are afraid to open them now, because it seems like that's all we're looking at is roads, roads, roads. Mr. Ebner's been a big help for us and a sounding board for us to kind of go to. We're not trying to throw the developer under the bus. We are not trying to finger point and blame anybody other than the situation. We want it fixed. Mm-hmm. We do have concerns. $300,000 on a home to look out your front door and say, that's not what I expected. I didn't sign on for that. And the answers, quite honestly, the city doesn't have the answers. Because some of the things that were thrown at us at different points presented were, they left you scratching your head. Mr. Kisner, Mr. Gall, they don't have the answers, and certainly they want them because this is costing them a significant, mm-hmm. what I would imagine is a significant amount of money, and they want it behind them.
Mm-hmm.
If we knew, we wouldn't be here. We would have presented it to you, and we would have
right.
expected it fixed. But, Mr. Mayor, I am passionate about it.
I know you are.
I'm concerned about it, and I'm upset about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Does that mean that I'm sitting here blaming one particular individual? Absolutely not. But do I want an answer? I feel I'm entitled to one.
Mm-hmm. You are, and we want an answer, too. We certainly do. Yes, sir.
Thank you again, Mr. Mayor. I just want to address a couple of things, and I'm speaking, I think I can speak at least some regard for why we're here. We're here, and what we're hearing, this is like deja vu to us. We went through this in August. I mean, we went through, I don't want to be too emotional about it. I want to stay diplomatic.
Mm-hmm.
But we went through this in August. We sat at our pavilion, and we heard the same things. We do not, as a neighborhood, accept, and I don't mean to point fingers at Mr. Kisner. We want our road like the road we expected when we moved in. We expected to be protected by the regulations of this city. We expected they would protect us. We expected that those roads would be as satisfactory a year after we moved in, or 2 years after we moved in, as they were the day we moved in. I don't think that's too high of an expectation for a road. I don't think our expectation is too high. We don't know the problem. That's not our job. It's really not our business to know what causes the problem, and I don't mean to be controversial in saying that, but it's not our job. We don't get paid for that. We paid to live there. Somebody made money off of us moving in that neighborhood, Mr. Mayor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we expect that road would be what we moved into when we bought our houses. We don't expect 2 years later for it to be repaired. And then the deja vu comes back for us as a neighborhood because we're hearing the same excuses. We were told in the August meeting in our pavilion, we were told that the repairs were going to start in 2 weeks and they should be done in 6 weeks. Now, some of those, there was vehicles out there doing, cutting holes, and they were patching. And the patches are broken. The patches are cracking. And so what we're saying is, doesn't the city, and maybe a question I have is, at what point does the city say, it's time for us to take over and get involved? Does the city have some avenue that they can say, and I don't know Mr. Kisner or Mr. Gall personally, but does the city have some avenue that they can say, okay, this isn't working. What we're asking for as a neighborhood is we want an independent forensic engineering study on that road. I don't think that's a too high of an expectation that somebody will come in from the outside, look at that road, somebody not that is not getting paid by the contractor, somebody totally with nothing in the game, mm-hmm. no skin in the game, come in, look at that road, and say, here's the problem, this is the way to fix it. I don't think that's too high of an expectation. The second thing that I don't think is too high of an expectation, and Mr. Kisner addressed it, and that's not personal with Mr. Kisner, please don't misunderstand that, nor Mr. Pierce. But we think, as a community, and we're here, we think as a community that road that we put tremendous amounts of money into, those houses, we have bought them in that community. 2 years, council, 2 years, and that road looks like trash. There are roads 40 years old. If they can build a road in the middle of a swamp in Florida, we can't build a road in Aiken, South Carolina that lasts. We need to go get somebody from Florida to come up, teach us how to build the road. Because they did it. They do it through the swamps, but we can't do it in Aiken. We are asking, as a community, for an independent forensic engineer to come in, independent, to come in, review this road, find out what the problem is, and then have that road look like a road ought to look when you've lived in a neighborhood and bought $2,000 and $3,000 and $4,000 and $500,000 houses. The way it ought to look after 2 years, that's all we're asking this council. We don't want to fuss with the council. We don't want to argue with you. To be honest, we don't even want to be here. I mean, we appreciate what you do, and we trust you. We trust you. Most of us have never been at a council meeting. We trust you. But we've had to give up our evenings, our kids. We've had to find babysitters for our kids because we have invested a significant amount of money in our homes, and we are asking for this council to protect us and our investment. That's all we're asking. We don't want to argue. We don't want to fight. We don't want to fuss. We don't even want to be here. We just want your protection, council. Will you protect us? That's all we're asking. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Mayor, is it my understanding that after the punch list of repairs is completed at the end of the summer, there will be some intervention by the city of Aiken, or...
It'd be helpful to look on page 133. That's the October letter that I sent out, and it was about 5 weeks after our meeting, not months after. You'll see in there that under item number one, I stated that we were going to develop a punch list and have the developers look at that. Number two says we would have a city, and that's a city-sponsored sonar unit, determine the cause and extent of water problem on Moultrie Drive. That was raised in the summer meeting, Ms. Diggs. And you'll see there, if the water's caused by a water line leak, city crews will repair any problems identified. Again, the sonar showed that it was not a water line, so we didn't have to repair water lines. If it's a natural spring, diverting it will be added to the punch list for the developers to address. So we knew that we needed that additional piece of information before going forward. There was a time for the punch list items to be completed. We hoped that would have been in the fall. But again, with the water problem being naturally occurring, that's something that the developers are having the engineering firm take a look at. And only after the completion of the punch list items, that's when there was a one-year warranty period. So obviously the city will be involved because we're going to monitor and observe the roads to see if the not just the proposed work, but the actual work done is something that works on a continuing basis. And then even after that, the developer would have to request that the roads be accepted by the city, and there'd be a public hearing on that. So what I heard tonight is the developer saying before they would implement an actual repair to these roads, they would come back before council and have their findings late spring before they actually did the work in the summer. So, yes, we would continue to be involved through that one-year warranty period. I just want to be clear that the path forward that we described in the October letter, and I really have not had any objections to that until the petition was filed in January. We are following what we said we would follow.
Do we have the punch list?
Yeah, that's in the material.
Punch list has been? What? I didn't see it.
Mr. Mayor, I think there's a lady on the second row. Right.
I think it would be good if we heard from some other citizens while they're here, please.
That's fine. We're going to hear from everybody, Reggie, that wants to. Who's next? Yes, ma'am.
Let me see the punch list.
Hello, Mr. Mayor and council members. My name is Roxanne Roybal de Diaz, and I live on Moultrie Drive. I will keep my comments short, but I do have to tell you I'm probably one of the babies of our community. And I have to tell you that it's very disheartening when you move into a home that is brand new, and you look out of your window every single day and you see patches on the road, geology, trucks driving around, and it makes you wonder about how solid the area you're living on is. what we expect and what I expect, and I think what our community expects, is that when you buy a new home, brand new home, I don't know if it's been said that our homes are brand new, pretty much, and you look out, you expect to see that the roads are equal to your home. The road, it does look like a patchwork quilt, and to hear tonight that it's going to be patched up again is bothersome to me. It's like lipstick on a pig to me, and it doesn't satisfy me. I believe that everything that's been said, I concur with everything that's been said, and I just would ask that it be done in a timely manner. I know that everything is being done that can be done. People are looking and seeing and trying. If it could be done yesterday, it would be great, but it does make one wonder about the ground that your own home is being built on when the streets in front of us are crumbling. So I would just ask that things be done in a timely manner and that the streets look like at least the rest of Gem Lakes.
Right. Well, we did hear a schedule from Mr. Kisner. On the plan going forward. Who else would like to speak?
Okay. State your name.
My name is Sean Derrick. I live at 1117 Moultrie Drive. And my wife and I just moved here from Louisiana in August. And we like the neighborhood, and we love the people. And anyhow, the road in front of my house is starting to crack and has no patchwork done on it yet, and it's cracking severely. And when I was listening to what some of the people were saying, they were talking about terracing the houses and things such as that, and putting a slab versus doing non-slab-based foundation for the house. And we had an engineer come out and look at our house before we bought it and after we bought it when the land was cleared and stuff like that. And we were explained to us that because of the type of the trees and the soil type that was down there, that most of those houses would have to be dug down 5 to 7 feet, that anybody that would look at that knows that type of stuff would do that. And you would not want a pillar type versus a slab, because of the amount of roots underneath it, they would start to rot out and you'd have stuff that would sink. Okay? My biggest concern from listening to Mr. Kisner is that they've had two springs, two summers to work on this road, and nobody has an answer, council, citizens, I get all that. But my concern is that right off the bat, he took off the table repaving the road. What if that's the problem? I mean, just nobody knows, but if that's the problem and he's not willing to do it, then there's a conflict of interest in getting it fixed. And I don't understand why getting somebody in, not sitting through spring and summer just to take another guess at what's going on, but why not getting somebody in who's an expert to look at it now through spring and summer with them, that's independent and not financially tied to it, to get an honest opinion? That's my question.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've got to find the real problem for what's causing it.
Yes, sir.
Just coming in there and putting another slab of concrete over it.
Well,
if you've got water down there and it's gonna eventually go down, no matter how much pavement you put on it. In my view.
But I'm just saying that if that's off the table. Then that means that if it's off the table to have it repaved, then if that could be the problem, then it'll never be addressed by him. And that's why I'm asking you, is at that point when he said that, then we need to get an independent person who's not financially tied to it through gain to take a look at it, assess an opinion,
okay,
make sure that his opinion's right.
We've talked about this independent comprehensive forensic engineering study. We talked about that. And I think I would like to see that myself. I wanted to ask Mr. Kisner if that's in his plans to do that kind of thing.
Our plan is to continue to work with engineers that we have.
I'm sorry, Steve, I can't hear you. If you don't mind coming up here. I think probably...
We work with the engineering groups that we have. We have two different engineering groups that we work with.
Is it going to be what's called an independent comprehensive forensic engineering study?
I don't know what that is.
Huh?
I don't know what that is.
All right.
I'll defer to somebody else.
Does anybody know what that is?
Would the independent mean independent?
Well, I know what independent is, but how about the rest of it?
Are you ready for Larry to
yes.
ask some of these questions?
He just said that he was going to work with people he's still working with. That would be independent. Independent means independent of him, outside of him.
Okay. All right. From now on, we really need everyone to come up here and talk so that we get everything. We want to capture everyone's message on the tape. Mr. Morris, would you come up, please?
I assume we're going to hear from all the citizens also.
Absolutely. We've got plenty of time.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First of all, I appreciate everybody being here tonight. I think this is a problem that we've all gotten frustrated with, not only the residents, but also city staff, and I know Mr. Kisner has also. The independent study has said, I went to Augusta and met with CSRA engineers a couple weeks ago, Mr. Jim Pope, who founded the firm, and his son, Jeff Pope. They are geotechnical people, as we call them in the trade, they're dirt people. They know soils, they know what to look for. As a layer of protection for the citizens and for the city, what we would do, as you heard Mr. Kisner say, he would bring back the solution to council so council would know what was being proposed. Mr. Kisner has worked well with us. Mr. Hildebrand, the engineer that did the design work, has worked well with us. And what we would expect is that the information would be given to us, and then we could have our own highway engineers that we have on call for us actually look at that as an independent viewpoint so that, you know, there would be another set of eyes looking at it besides CSRA, besides the city of Aiken. So that we can bring back to council the most comprehensive recommendation that we could, again, working with Mr. Gall and Kisner. So I would not have any problem recommending that to council for them to go ahead with CSRA and finding the root cause. I think everything that's been said here tonight says what is the root cause. When we first met in August, certainly, I stood up in front of the neighbors and said, we're not real sure what the root cause is. We knew there was water coming out of the pavement in several areas, but we didn't know why. We thought maybe it's a broken water line. That's when we made the offer to get the sonar ground penetrating radar. That turned out to be more difficult than we thought. We could not find anyone that would come in and rent a unit to allow us to make that observation. We finally did find a company that came in and did a, quote, demonstration, unquote, wanting to sell us the unit. After that, we were lucky enough to find a firm that would rent, along with an operator, of course, a unit that would come down and actually look at the soils again. Both units found basically the same thing, that the whole area is underlain with water. So that took a long time, much longer than we anticipated, to be able to give that information to Mr. Gall and Kisner and subsequently to their engineers. So that was a key piece of information. Subsequent to that, as Mr. Kisner said earlier, they have done some borings out there 3 feet down to confirm, you know, where is the water, what does it look like, and they have found water under the pavement. Finding the root cause, giving that information to CSRA, letting them develop a methodology, if you will, to solve the root cause of the problem. Is the water making the subsurface too soft? Is it making the base too soft? That's what we need them for. We need them to tell us. We need them to do whatever testing they need to do and then come back with a recommendation. And that would be what I would recommend to council would be the best way to proceed. Mr. Gall, Mr. Kisner already are working with CSRA testing, and certainly their firm is well known in this area and has done a lot of work in this area. And by submitting that to us and letting us have our own highway engineers look at it, I think we could offer an extra layer of protection there for our citizens there.
Larry, two questions.
Yes, sir.
I seem to recall somewhere in the material that I have read that CSRA has been involved with this project before. I don't know how many times, but I seem to recall reading paperwork from them relating to this project. Is that the case? Have they been out here before?
Yes. CSRA did the testing. In the paperwork, you'll see that they did have a technician on site for proof rolls and also for compaction testing of the base.
So what would we expect them to tell us now coming out for the second or third or fourth time?
What I would look for them to do now is actually to come in and take soil samples, determine exactly what type of moisture content that we have and exactly what that's doing to the soil. A lot of times what we have seen in our soil in Aiken, because we're on the fall line, we see a difference in the soil that we deal with. Some of the clays that we deal with, when they get wet, they swell, and then when traffic gets on them, they tend to do what we call pump. And that means that as the wheel load goes over them, the soil will go down, and then it will rebound. And that's what causes cracking on roads.
So if we assume that because of all the water that's underneath those roads, that that's the case, what then can be done to fix that problem?
I would be asking them for a recommendation on how to solve that as the root cause of the problem, and then they could work with Mr. Hildebrand to come up with a proper pavement design for that.
Ask it a different way. If they were to tell you the water's going down 6 feet, I mean, as an engineer, is there a way to deal with water, that much water on a road?
There is. The State Highway Department has used it successfully along I-20, and I'm not sure about I-95. They were looking at some of it there, but it's called a curtain drain. I used some of the same material on Northwood Drive several years ago. The material that I used was only 3 feet deep because that's all we needed on Northwood, but it did cut the water off from going into Northwood. We did have the issue there of naturally occurring groundwater in springs and causing Northwood to break up on us. And so we did install that and very successfully, you know, was able to solve that problem.
Now, can this company identify how much water is there and how far down it goes?
I'm not sure how far down that we would have to go to solve the problem. That's one reason why the testing of the soil is going to be so important. The tests that have been done so far just are related to compaction, you know, and it's called a standard Proctor test. That test will tell you, well, will this soil compact enough to be a good road base or won't it? What I'm interested in is what's the transmissivity of the soil? Is it going to take water and move it through to other places? Will it act like a wick in an oil lamp and actually pull water up underneath the pavement so that no matter what you do there, there's a problem? We need to know that, and we need to know what type of soil that is. And it takes some different testing. A standard Proctor will not tell you that.
Is this company capable of doing that kind of testing?
Yes, sir, they are.
So when they do their thing, and who will give them their specifications on what to do?
Mr. Gall and Mr. Kisner are very interested in getting this out from under them, and I would work with them and with CSRA testing to make sure that what we were looking at would be a report that would be acceptable so that our engineers then could look at it and say, yes, this type of stabilization would work, I think is the best word.
What would we do if we get to a situation that I'm sort of sensing we're going to get close to, that this thing is going to cost a small fortune to fix? What happens then?
I can't answer that question, sir. I don't know.
Larry, the punch lists that were developed. I'm sorry, Steve.
Oh, good.
There's two punch lists in our package, one from 2009 and one on page 166 from 2010.
There's also on page 160, Mr. Dewar, a letter from Mr. Morris that is dated March 22nd, 2012, that talked about a more recent inspection.
160. Okay. And your letter in August, in October indicated, I think if I recall it right, that we would develop another checklist, punch list. That's the one that I asked about.
That was provided after our meeting in the summer.
We, Mr. Ted Jones, our engineer, and Mr. Grinton both went out and looked at the roads and compared what they saw to previous punch lists for items that still needed attention. And what they found was that the road cracking still needed attention.
Can I say they have looked at the 2009 punch list and the 2010 punch list, and do we have a punch list right now in existence that, if the developer would complete, would satisfy the city?
The punch list that the developer is working off of is the 2010 as updated by Mr. Jones and Mr. Grinton, so that basically what we have there is a continuation of getting those items complete. Now, to further answer your question, can they come up with a solution and fix everything on there that would be acceptable? I think until we see the engineering report and we can actually have our consultants look at that report and talk with CSRA and Mr. Hildebrand, we just need to know what that is to be able to say, yes, this is what will satisfy the punch list.
And that October letter, I'm trying to find it quickly. Did we, the city, agree to do that?
To do what, sir?
To get the engineering study. What page is your October letter?
The October letter from me is on page 133. And what we said is anything that the sonar bore out as far as the water sources, that we would add that to the punch list. And that's why you hear Mr. Kisman tonight saying that they're working with CSRA, since we know that the water is, in fact, naturally occurring or from irrigation systems.
So can we get an indication? I'm looking for an end point, as the residents are, and I'm sure everybody on council is. In talking with the engineer of CSRA, can they give us assurance that whatever somebody pays them to do, it's going to come up with a final analysis of exactly what we're dealing with so that we know what we have to do to fix it?
Well, my understanding is the CSRA, the dirt people that Larry's describing, would have some potential solutions to address the problem. He can take that engineering report, and we can have an independent engineering firm that also works in that area double-check to see if those are rationally based solutions that make sense for the fix for this problem. And then what we're hearing from the residents tonight is that they want something independently verified. So we could certainly do that.
Yes, sir.
Now, who's the PE for this project?
Tilden Hildebrand was the design PE for the project.
Okay, so they have responsibility if the roads issue gets really far worse than anybody anticipated?
Well, Mr. Kisner said tonight that he was staying involved with CSRA and Hassan Hildebrand.
Correct.
So they're still in conversation to work on the fix.
So what we tell the residents tonight is, A, we're going to get CSRA to come out and do a study of the soil that we haven't done before, and that based on that, we'll take that study and we'll get it independently evaluated. And after we do that, we're going to meet with them again or come up with a solution?
We're certainly willing to meet with the residents at any time. I anticipate the developers will have a recommended path for repair, and the developers offered to come back before council. We can certainly meet with the citizens first and discuss the proposed repair and the independent review of that requested repair, and then bring it back to council if council would like it back here as well.
And I sense that time is of concern because we don't want to do anything in the spring during the rainy season, but we probably want to be prepared to do something in the summer. Is that a reasonable expectation?
Certainly. We've had one of the wettest Februarys on record, so there's no better test than this month. So the data that's being shared and collected, I would think, would be very helpful.
When
we've had droughty summer, so as far as doing the work to get everything set up for then the next wet season would make sense.
And when will the study be done, or is that up to us? Is that just, or is that
the developer? Well, we heard from the developers that they were going to go ahead and work on that this spring before they did the work in the summer.
Right. We will be working very closely with them to make sure that that comes to fruition, and then we can get it in the hands of our consultants also.
So we're still talking a while.
Well, as Mr. Kisner said, he is shooting to have the work completed by the end of the summer, again, to get the problem resolved, and that's what we would like to see. We'd like to see it resolved.
And last question, I'm sure you thought I'd never get there. Is the city going to get involved in repaving that entire road as the residents want? I mean, obviously, I can understand where the developer's coming from, but...
I think we need to get some more information before we can answer any kind of question like that. I mean, obviously, if the city's going to accept the road, there's a warranty period, and we're going to look at a road that meets the development regulations. That's what everybody wants, so that's what we want to deliver. That's what we said in the meeting back in August, and that continues to be the city's focus.
So would our standards be that it has to be paved like the rest of the roads in the subdivision?
The regulation standard, I don't know, compares to other roads, existing roads. It's just, it has to meet a standard.
Would we require the road to be paved?
It's hard to answer an open-ended question like that, Mr. Dwight. I'm not sure what you mean. I mean, just for pure appearance purposes.
Well, what I mean is that the objection to the residents have been there's a lot of patchwork on the roads. And when all is said and done, as they have indicated, they would just like to see the road paved, and they would have... like to have a nice road like most of us have where we live. And the alternative to that, of course, is to be told everything is fixed, but we're going to live with the patches. And I think I'm hearing from them that's not acceptable to them.
That's certainly in the petition.
Yes.
Yeah. And again, that's something we look at along with the recommendation and the independent verification. That's going to be part of a presentation once we have that final bit of information in hand.
It's very difficult, Mr. Dwyer, to answer that question without really knowing what the solution is going to be. I don't want to put something out there that we really just don't have the information right now to be able to talk intelligently about it.
Larry,
yes,
I really only have two questions. I kind of missed what you said about the ground-penetrating radar. Was it inconclusive, or did it identify groundwater? Or
that's the sonar test.
Yeah, it definitely identified groundwater throughout the area. It did not identify any broken water mains or leaking pipes for the water. Mm-hmm. It appears that the water is, now that we're getting into rainy season, that the water has actually, water tables come up. For whatever reason, you know, you've heard several reasons tonight, talking about sprinkling or rain or whatever, but for whatever reason, there is water now under the soil that did not show up during the initial construction phase.
The second question I have is, we've had leaks, you know, like Ascot and, you know, the road collapsing in Reggie's neighborhood. Is there any similarity in the soil structure that caused that, or is it the... leaking pipes, or is it groundwater? Is there any similarity to those two instances?
I think
Stratford and over at the reserve.
I think those two instances are definitely different than what we're seeing here. What we're seeing here is a road base and paving problem. What we saw there was a problem with the trench that the sewer was in, mm-hmm. and in a very deep sewer. The compaction sometimes can be a problem, and that's what we saw there in the subsidence on Ascot and also there on Foxhound Run. We had the same type of problem on Cherry Hills Drive, and that neighborhood's, 40 years old? And all of a sudden we had some subsidence over a sewer. So unfortunately those things do happen to us occasionally, and then we have to go in and we do repair them.
Thanks.
Cost. I was just looking at something and I saw it over the weekend. Are we saying that you've spent, Ms. Kisner, about 700 to almost $1 million in terms of repairs. Am I reading this incorrectly in my my package? What have you spent on repairs? In terms of the and number of buildings.
I haven't disclosed the amount of money we spent on repairs. Only.
What are these, Richard?
Do you have a number in your packet?
No, I think that's a copy of the contract, Mr. Kushner.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's a copy of the contract to put the roads in. You know, it's your with the original installation.
17.
That in our packet?
I don't know what
so this is for the installation of the road?
That was for the original installation.
Okay.
We have spent, I'll just say this publicly, we have spent equivalent to what our bond was.
Okay.
Which was $100,000.
Right, I saw that.
That's in repairs since the original construction.
Okay.
Mr. Kushner, let me ask a question. I'm still curious about what this is, and I think you said you weren't quite sure what it is. A comprehensive forensic engineering study. Would somebody tell me what that is? Larry, maybe you know. Is that what we're planning to do with CSRA?
My understanding of a comprehensive forensic study, the forensic means go in and find out what the problem is. A problem has occurred. Okay. Let's go in and find out what it is. So definitely this is a forensic study.
Okay.
Comprehensive, to me, means let's find the solution. So that's what we're shooting for, is identifying the root cause. You know, we know there's a problem.
Absolutely.
There's no question about that.
Got to come.
But identifying the root cause and then coming up with the solution, and that's the comprehensive part of it.
Yeah. Okay. Let me ask. Mr. Decker, maybe, is that what your understanding of this is? Because it's in your paper, you know.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Okay. Very, very good. I just wanted to make sure it wasn't something different that we're not doing or getting ready to do. Okay.
My last concern is the timeline. There was a timeline mentioned in terms of trying to resolve this. Did I hear by?
As Mr. Kushner said, and even as far ago as earlier this year, we want to have this completed by the end of the summer. And the information that's being collected now, after we were able to give the ground-penetrating radar information to Mr. Kushner and Mr. Gall, they then had some borings done to confirm that. And in those borings, then and I did not ask this question of CSRA testing, whether or not they took the soil samples there. They could have. I don't know if they did or not. Soil sampling normally is done by what's called a split spoon method, and that's when they'll take an actual core, about a 2-inch diameter core, about a foot long, in two or three spots, and then they'll test that for exactly what the transmissivity, you know, how much water will flow through it, how much water it will hold, what type of soil it is, and that type of information. Once that information is obtained, then they can determine, yes, this is our root cause, and this is where we need to go.
And when do you anticipate that being done, Larry?
I'd have to go back to Mr. Kushner on this one. I know the bores, Mr. Kushner stated earlier, the boring has been done. I don't know if they did any sampling of the soil at that time or not.
They have their soil samples, and we just kind of put our the agreement we have with the city is that we'll have the work done by August of 2013. That was the agreement we entered into. We were going to continue to do some work until we got into this rain. We're going to, after the rain subsides and we get into somewhat of a dry period, we're going to do some more evaluation, and at that time we'll be at a point, hopefully, that we'll know what we're going to do.
By August? Or?
Oh, the work will be done by August.
Okay. So That means everything will look good by the end of August, hopefully.
Well, it depends on what your standard of good is, but wells will have patches in it. There's no doubt about that.
How long does it take patches with the sun shining? It doesn't take too long. It might take a year or so for it to start looking like the rest of the road.
They do. The asphalt does
blend
out some aesthetically, if you will, but you can always tell there's a patch there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. You can go down the roads now in Jim Lakes and other places in our neighborhood.
I might point out as well, Mr. Mayor, we patch roads within the city every year. We could certainly put this street on the list.
Yeah.
It's not in the city system.
It's not in the city system
right
now.
It's not in the city system yet.
No, this road's still owned by the developer at this point.
At this point it is. You know,
yeah.
When the time comes, and we all hope that's soon.
Okay.
Mr. Decker is on, and there's some others. I think we wanted this.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Mr. Decker. And any others that would like to speak? Who else would like to speak? Just show of hands, okay?
I get the feeling, too, that the community wants an assurance that they'll get new and improved roads, everything surface. And I don't think that we're able to tell you that tonight. I just don't think that any of us can say that. I personally would desire to see you have a plain surface, but we're not voting on that tonight. The issue is to find some resolution to the problem that's been described. So.
Well, I think, too, that Larry talked to that issue and said it's probably not capable of saying yay or no right now.
Well, I agree with Ms. Price. Basically putting a new top on it without actually solving the basic problem of what causes the cracking and the erosion. It's kind of foolhardy. We'd be right back where we are right now.
Well, that's right.
We really have to. I appreciate your concerns, but you're going to have to live with the patches until they get the basic problem done, and then hopefully, you know, we as a city could do something to make it a little bit more aesthetically acceptable.
What troubles me about what I've just heard is Mr. Kisner has three times now said that repaving is off the table. All right? We don't have the engineering study that might say that we have to repave this road. We have to rip this whole road out and repave it. And yet already we're being told that repaving is off the table. That's what we were told in August, that we would not get this road repaved, that this road would stay the way that it is. And then there's questions as to who's responsible and where's the money come from, and is the city responsible? Yes, the city is responsible. The city is absolutely responsible. Your land use regulations call for an inspection to be done 90 days before a performance bond is to expire. I didn't write those regulations, the city did. The city engineer is supposed to determine whether the roads pass or fail. If they fail, the contractor is to be given 90 days to effect repairs. At the end of the 90 days, if the road passes, then the performance bond is released. If the roads fail, then that bond was to be called in. That bond was never called in. It was released, even though the roads didn't pass inspection. Now, that's interesting to me. You have a situation where you have a road that the city says, well, it's not our road, and but it didn't pass inspection, but we didn't call the bond in. Why not? The regulations, the land use regulations don't call for, well, the contractor's trying. I'm not denigrating Mr. Kisner. I think he has made honest attempts to solve the problem. But on the other hand, the regulations are quite specific in what they call for. They call for the city to call in the bond and effect repairs. Mr. Morris, in an email a couple of weeks ago, said basically the same thing, that if he had had to call the bond in, then the city would have had to take over the roads and repair them. Well, what else is the bond there for? Is the bond there to, we'll just let the bond expire? What's the purpose of the bond? Is the purpose of the bond not to ensure that the city and the citizens' interest in the road being completed is maintained, and that when it isn't, the city has an obligation to call that bond and do the repairs? That's what the land use regulations call for. I didn't make those regulations up. The representatives here did. As far as us having to wait to do, yes, absolutely, we have to wait until the repairs are done correctly. That's what the petition said, that we want a forensic engineering study to determine the cause, then to do the repairs, and to repave the road so that it looks correct. It doesn't look correct. And if it's horrendous and terrific, and all of these people here are upset now that this road is such a disgrace, we're now being told that, well, we're going to do a little study here, we're going to figure out what it is, and then we're going to put some more patches on top of the patches that are already there. I mean, I would say on Moultrie, I'm just guessing, but I would say on Moultrie, there is probably 30 to 40% of that road is now patches. That's outrageous. That's not a road, it's a patch. We want a road, a regular road. It looks like a road, it drives like a road, it is a road. It is a road that matches the other roads in Aiken, and I think the council has an obligation to provide that. And it was the council's responsibility, it was the city manager's responsibility, and the city engineering department's responsibility to call that bond and take over that road when it didn't pass the inspection. They also had 2 years to effect this, to get these improvements done. We're now 4 years. So we're going to, you know, kick the can down the road a little bit more, and then we're told that at the end of the day, paving is off the table. I'm not satisfied. I'm sorry.
I don't think council has said that it's off the table yet.
Mr. Kisner has said it's off the table.
Well, maybe he said that, but I don't think council has yet.
Is council willing to say that it's on the table?
I don't know. That's something we'll get to, but if we take over the roads and have a way, perhaps, of putting this on our list. It may take a while to get money to do it, but perhaps that's a possibility.
Well, I'm confused, Mr. Mayor, because I believe the power flows from the council to the appointed city manager, and that city manager's responsibility is to ensure that the regulations that are on the books are followed. The regulations that you have voted on. Why was this bond not called? When it's clearly stated in there that this bond should be called. Can anybody answer that question for me? I mean, why was that bond not called?
We'll give Mr. Morris a chance. I'm sure he'd answer it, Mr. Decker.
Okay.
And he works for me.
When we have a maintenance bond on a roadway or subdivision, what have you, it covers a certain percentage of cost to fix small maintenance problems. We do not normally call bonds if we have a developer that is willing to go ahead and use his funds to repair a road, get it into good shape, repair a water line, repair a sewer line, what have you. And the reason that we don't call the bonds, number one, it's a legal issue that we would then be the owner of the road or whatever the bond was on. Now, in this case, we had a reputable developer who was very willing to continue in efforts to repair the road and did. The bond, as you see in your package, was released in 2010. That's as long as we could hold it. And also you'll see in your package that even this past summer, and as Mr. Decker said, Mr. Gall and Mr. Kisner, had a contractor out there actually repairing the roads. As Mr. Kisner just said, they have already spent roughly the amount of what the bond was, and they're willing to spend more, and they're committing to spend more to get this road proper and right.
And you're calling it a bond. It was actually a letter of credit.
I'm sorry, you're correct, Mr. Pierce. It was a letter of credit.
And the letter of credit was for all the infrastructure in the subdivision, not just roadways?
Letter of credit was for all infrastructure.
And it was $106,000?
$106,000. Now,
by releasing the letter of credit, did that give the developer the assets he needed to do the $100,000 worth of work in that subdivision?
That is correct, because a letter of credit has to be put forth by the bank based on the company that they're dealing with. So it wasn't a bond. It was a letter of credit. Thank you. That is correct.
So the letter of credit, in effect, helped pay for the repairs. The developer is committed to do the other repairs. That's not at taxpayer expense. It's at the owner's expense.
That's correct. No taxpayer money has been spent out there. Had we called the letter of credit, yes, we would have had roughly $100,000 on the letter of credit, but we would still have issues with the road, and we would have spent a lot of taxpayer money at that point to say, okay, now we're the ones that have to go out and do the forensic study, which Mr. Gall and Mr. Kisner are working with CSRA testing to do. And so we try to work with developers that are reputable, as this firm is, not to try to damage them in any way, and yet still achieve what we need to achieve in getting the roadways, the water, the sewer, the other infrastructure in properly.
Larry, what would it cost roughly with Moultrie and Huron, Moultrie especially, to resurface that road completely? Approximate ballpark.
We look at a standard resurfacing, and that's about an inch and a half of material, and that's just resurfacing only, around $70,000 to $80,000 a mile on a roadway. Now, I forget how long these roadways are, but that's the way that when we figure our budgets for the year, that's what we try to do. Mm-hmm. That's strictly a rule of thumb. Some will go more, some will go a little less. It just depends on the width of the road.
Right.
Larry, you are a professional engineer and have been for a number of years, working in the trade for 40 years or so.
40 plus.
40 plus. Do you think the path that we've talked about here tonight is the right way to go? Is there anything else that we haven't talked about or thought of that we would need to do?
Mr. Mayor, I do think this is the best path to go forward to protect our citizens and protect the city and work with our developers who are being very upfront, willing to work with us. At the end of the path, if you will, we should have a solution that will take care of the roadways out there. That's what we're trying to achieve. And I have no problem recommending going forward along that path to council. And I do realize that the time frame has been excessive, but we also have had a developer working with us and being out there and doing some work and trying to get the problem solved.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very good. Any other questions or Larry, comments?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Larry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and councilman. My name is Brent Ruggles. I'm a database administrator. For those who don't know what that is, I'm a computer geek. I live on Huron Drive. We've been there about a year. Of course, while we've been there, we've seen patches multiply on our road and on adjacent Moultrie, and of course, with a great deal of dismay. A couple questions you asked earlier to one of the other people and citizens that was here. Do you think that everything has been done that could be done? Well, I would say the answer is obviously not. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here 4 years later. And now talking about doing an engineering study. Certainly, we could have done this earlier. It should have been done earlier. I appreciate the developers. Mr. Kisner is, you know, here, and he came last summer. Took quite a bit of abuse from us citizens. and I appreciate him being here, willing to do that. Now, when I say that not everything has been done that could have been done, it's not necessarily to say that maybe everything that was done that was practical to be done. You can always have put more money into it and gone to more extreme efforts. So I just want to point that out, that no, not everything has been done that could have been done, or even now. I mean, the fact now, 4 years later, we're talking about whether or not we're going to resurface this road. It's one thing to have a road that has a patch on it. It's another thing to have a road where it's hard to find areas that are not a patch. Also, when you have patches that are failing, so you patch patches, then patch the patches of the patches, it indicates to me that obviously something's failing and you should rethink it. As a computer person, I'm not one who knows about things that you can hold in your hand. I'm a very fearful sort of a person in that way. But one thing I have in common with engineers, like civil engineers, you're frequently given difficult problems to solve. And there's two aspects to it. And you have to be qualified and work hard on both aspects. One is to diagnose the problem. The other is to resolve the problem. I hope this engineering company that they're talking about involving, or that is already involved in this, has the ability to do that. One of the concerns that I heard tonight is the fact that they've been involved for quite some time and we still have a problem. So I have a concern about that. And I also have a concern about, you know, leaving without a commitment to make this road look good as well as be engineerially strong, sound. I'm not suggesting pave it to make it look good before we solve the underlying physical problems. I think that's not a reasonable thing. We do want it structurally sound. Otherwise, as others have pointed out, this won't, we won't solve anything unless we figure out the underlying engineering issues. That's all that I have.
One question. You say things should have been done. What are the things that had not been done yet?
Well, I'm just amazed that 4 years later, we're just now getting around to do an engineering study for the soils. It seems like, you know, when you have patches that have been patched that it should be obvious that we should have had a study sooner than this. Now, without the study, then it's hard to say what you should do otherwise. But certainly, an engineering study should have been done a couple years ago, I would think.
Thank you, sir. Who else? Anyone else like to speak?
Is it fair to say that we have a problem with the road?
Is that a question?
Is it fair to say that there is a problem with the road?
Absolutely.
And therefore, we have to put in patches. But why would we accept patches in various spots and not accept that the road has a problem? That's the big concern. The aesthetics comes along with it. When we built our house, we expected a road. We didn't expect pieces of our road to be sound. I think that's where we keep coming back to the resurfacing and so on. We want the whole road to be sound, not just the patches.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Any comments from council?
Yes, please. First, I'd like to thank council's attention and support and listening to what the citizens have, and especially thanking all the citizens for coming out tonight. And we do have some citizens from other neighborhoods, several neighborhoods out in the audience also listening because of issues. What I would like to propose, and it's my understanding that we could, the council can have a resolution that would ask, would support or ask, whatever, I guess, support an independent assessment for the root cause and solution, and also would take a look at resurfacing the road. What I would like to do, and I think I can do that, can I put that on the agenda for March 25th as a resolution to support what we said we would do tonight? Not do it, but support the city in doing that and support the citizens in getting that done.
I mean, ultimately, aren't you really trying to figure out what the engineers are going to tell them they need to do to repair the road and then have them present the proposed solution to you?
Well,
I mean, isn't that ultimately what's going to happen?
That's ultimately what's going to happen, no question about that. But I think it would give some assurances to all of us that the resolution could be as simple as saying an independent, be sure that we get an independent assessment, so there's no question 2 to 4 years from now that we all heard it and we voted on it and we said, yes, we want a resolution. We voted on a resolution to get an independent assessment.
I think it's fair.
I got a question from the contracting side. I mean, do we have a contract? Is that in a statement of work for the developer and a contractor where we can actually make an additional tasking? We don't really have any money invested in this right now. So consequently, how can we task somebody to perform a statement of work which is, you know, beyond this? I mean, I know he's going to do something.
My concern is,
how can we task him?
My concern is that we have some other issues around the city with roads and waters and so forth and so on. And I think we've had one petition here from the citizens, and they're asking for the road to have a nice surface on it. And then as we dug into it, they said we want an independent assessment. All right, how do they know that we're going to do that? They put a petition in front of us for two things, an independent assessment and a repaved road. So how do they know we're going to follow up? Do we just say that this is the meeting that does it, or do we need a resolution
I don't know that City Council knows what's going to happen until you get the report back from the engineer.
But my concern is that this falls off the edge of the paperwork. And comes August of next year, we're back here talking about it again, and we haven't done the assessment.
I think the motivation of the developer...
I think the sense of the council is basically these people have a legitimate problem, and we do repave, like Dick said, you know, annually. We have a certain... We can put them on top of the priority list, but, you know, we can't turn around and tell a contractor he has to do something. I mean, that's the contract is not with us. You can't change.
Okay, as we are a council sitting here now, are we supporting the citizens to have a road that's of good quality and the surface is nice and smooth?
I agree. We can have one, but it's not binding on anybody.
Is that
it's just the sense of the council, I guess.
Don't you want a road that meets the regulation requirements that council's enacted?
There aren't many roads in the city that don't have a patch in them somewhere.
Now,
I mean, the city does not guarantee any resident of the city that they're going to have a perfectly brand new looking road in front of their house.
It is rare after 2 or 4 years in this city, and I've only been back now for coming on 8 years. But usually in that first couple of years, there's not many patches. And I think here the percentage of patches, as we've already discussed, is a very high percentage of the total surface. I don't think anybody would say down in the valley of that road where there's some cracks in there from too many trucks crossing over, patch that and be done with it. Maybe you're talking a couple of percentage points. But we are way beyond that stage, and that's my concern.
Well, I guess my concern, just from a legal standpoint, is, you know, what are you going to... What language are you going to put in a resolution that's not already included in all of the development regulations that you have? That's, you know, I mean, are you just passing the resolution to make somebody feel good, or are you waiting for? I mean, the developer's motivation in all of this is to get this road out of his list of assets and put this road into the city's list of assets, get it dedicated to the city so that the city does become responsible for it.
obviously before he can do that, the city's got to have some assurance that that road meets the city standards.
Well, that all in mind, isn't it appropriate? You've heard the petition tonight. You've heard what the developer's willing to do. Is there any problem with a motion and a second and a vote tonight that engineering solution to the water problem be determined and that the problem be corrected no later than August of 2013?
You can't do that. I mean, again, you're passing something where you have no, you don't have a dog in this fight, so to speak.
Yeah, we do, because we want the roads to be developed according to our regulations. You've had the developer come in saying he is going to do that. You could take a sense of the council vote tonight. That puts it on the record. And then you know you're going to hear about it before August of this year.
Well, Gary, what if we have a sense of the council, what is that? What strength does that have?
No, I mean, Richard is asking you to pass a resolution that essentially adopts the schedule that the developer has presented to you tonight.
As the path forward, which is in the petition that the citizens have filed with you.
Should we ask Mr. Kisner to see if that's acceptable to him?
Because he said it at least three times.
It's a no-brainer.
It's in the record. He said it three times.
Right.
I hear the concern that this not languish, that the citizens get what they want, which is an independent verification of an approach to a fix, and that the developer is committed to a fix no later than the end of August of this year.
But he left one thing off. He said resurfacing the road is not on.
Well, again, when we have the engineering solution, if council so desires, you can vote to have that proposed solution brought back to you for review in hand.
Richard, we had a problem defining what an independent was. Is independent, is that the CSRA engineering firm, or is it?
No. Mr. Moore spoke to that, Mr. Hamoki. Yeah. He said that if CSRA develops a proposed, fix, we have an independent engineering group that can review that. They don't have any involvement in this subdivision development whatsoever.
So the city has it.
That's right. That's on city retainer. That would be the city commitment to review the proposed fix.
Okay, so the city's going to get the independent engineering.
Right. Which is what I heard the citizens want, which would be part and parcel of trying to get these roads to meet our regulations and have them be acceptable roads. That's why we paid for the sonar work. The city paid for that, not the developer, because we were concerned that the utility system was leaking water, and we didn't want a leaky system, and that's not the case. So we eliminated that cost. Okay. And again, if council wants it back before you, when we have a solution in hand and prior to any work commencing, it will be on the agenda before then. But we don't have a hard and firm date other than sometime this spring.
Let me back up a minute, because I think the August date is nothing that we should really put our faith in. I'm sure that Mr. Kisner hopes that it will be done in August, but quite frankly, I don't know how we can say anything about the end date until we know what the engineering study says. That's going to drive the whole boat. I'd like to see us put on the council that we get a copy of the engineering report, but at the same time, when I say that,
review too,
at the same time I say that, I'm sensitive to the fact that we need to kind of let Mr. Kisner do his thing, and not get intrusive, or we're going to own the problem a little prematurely. So I would like to see a copy of that engineering report. I think council and the residents would then have a sense of whether or not this particular study is the one that will finally identify what needs to be done to finally fix the problem. But I think we need to wait to get that study.
You want the engineering report, and then you want the independent review of that report.
I'm interested in the engineering report. The residents want the independent verification, but I understand that, and I certainly that.
One comes before the other, so
yeah.
Have a copy of
the engineering report. The first engineering report is going to drive the boat, I think. We need to verify that it's okay, but the first one's going to drive the boat and tell us what needs to be done to fix it. I mean, apparently, from what I understand, and I'm not an engineer by any stretch, this is the first time we're going to be testing the soil deep down. I mean, we tested for compaction, but that...
The developer did.
Yeah, but that wasn't it, and we know it's not a water leak from the city pipes that are in there, so... And that's why I said, somebody said the water was down, 6 feet? I mean, man, That water's down to 6 feet. Again, I'm not an engineer, but I don't know what you'd have to do to fix it.
What's the timeline for CSRA to come back with a solution?
I heard this spring, so the work could be done in the summer. That, we've gone over that several times tonight.
So they can't test until the rainy season's over?
They're already testing. We were going to get the engineering report based on the tests and the data later this spring.
Okay.
All right, let's do this. At the April 22nd meeting, let's have a formal update, and I'll send it in to be on the agenda in petitions and issues. So if you'd make a note of that, does everybody agree to that? That's 2 months. We can get a formal update there and see. We may not have the solution, but let's put on the record that we had a formal update. And then from there, we can decide when the next formal update is. Is that agreeable to everybody?
I support that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. And then we come back and they'll know something or nothing by then. So, okay.
What date was that?
April 22nd.
That's your second meeting in April.
Second, that'll be two plus months.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that reasonable? Is that a reasonable time?
Yeah.
It's just a
status. Whatever is done is done, or whatever is not done is not done.
Okay.
And if he comes in and says, hey, we're not through yet, we'll see you in 2 months.
Okay.
Okay.
Is that okay to
That's
do
reasonable.
That?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do we need a vote on this?
No.
We need a vote, Mr. City Attorney.
Okay. I think Mr. Pierce knows what his guidance is.
Right.
Yep. I know what I'm doing.
Okay. The other thing I would like to do, if I have to request this through the city manager or what, but this segment of the meeting, I would like to get a CD of this part of the meeting, the petition. Can we make one just of this so I can distribute
it? It'll be on the website so anybody can burn a copy that would like. I mean, if you would like for staff to burn a copy, we can.
I would, and that makes it an official copy, and I'll send you an email of that.
You need it certified by the city clerk?
Yeah, that's all. But I'd like it to be sent to me by the city clerk.
You just want this item.
This item on
this me. Item from the agenda. Stuart, will you make a note of that for IT?
And okay. I'll send you an email confirming.
You don't need to. We've got it in the works.
Okay. And then I'll distribute it to the citizens.
When you say this item, what item are you?
The petition we've just been discussing.
Of the agenda.
Okay. Just the what petition we've just for recently Jim been discussing the last few minutes.
Yes. Well, it's been more than a few minutes, but it's
and
good.
I just want to be clear, since the citizens are in the room, Mr. Ebner, the citizens can go to the website and listen to this. It's available to the public.
I understand, but I think this is important and. I even have trouble explaining to citizens. I said, you go listen to this. Well, I got to listen for 4 hours. Well, you know, just do that.
We can segment this out with a hyperlink from the main page if we need it, or we can email that out if that's the concern.
We can do hyperlinks?
Hyperlink, yeah. We've done that before.
Okay, but not routinely.
You're
talking about the audio minutes.
With the request.
Let's try the hyperlink, and then we'll send it to the citizens. So send it to me first and see if I can do it. I may have to get the gentleman that works in IT to help.
You got a data manager
just
up there.
Just send it to me by the information to get it, and I'll try.
We'll also publicize the hyperlink. Folks can just click on that and go right to it and listen to it.
Very well.
We're glad to help the citizens.
Mr. Mayor and Council, this will be the last time I speak up front, so I wasn't going to speak again. But I stand in support of what Mr. Ebner is asking you, and let me, I hope, and Mr. DeWore asked, I think he asked that same question of Mr. Morris. And so I'd like to just present it back to you again. When everything's done, at the end of the day, when we know what the problem is, we've resolved the problem. It's done. The problem's resolved. At the end of the day, can we have a resurfaced road or not? That's what we want. That's what we want to know. And the end, we, you know, if you fix it every week and resurface it, that's probably fine with us. We just want to know at the end of the day, are we going to have a resurfaced road or not? When it's fixed, it's repaired, we've dug 6 feet under and we put gravel or dirt or whatever we're going to put in, are we going to have a resurfaced road? And all of the you know, back and forth. Well, we got to find out what's wrong with it. Okay, we'll find out what's wrong with it. Are we going to have a resurfaced road when we find out what's wrong with it at the end of the day? That's my question. I just want to know. And it seems like we've just gone back and forth about it. We just want to know. That's what we want to know. When we walk out of here, we want to walk out of here saying either we're going to have a resurfaced road or we're not going to have a resurfaced road. That's why we're all here. We aren't here to hear all this back and forth, you know. And we don't know what's wrong. We're going to have a resurfaced road or not. And thank you.
Gary, can the city resurface a road that's still in private ownership?
If you're asking the question to be answered tonight, the city doesn't own the road tonight. The city can't do anything about the road tonight.
Yes, but after the warranty goes, after the one-year warranty is out, then it could be resurfaced, and you probably wouldn't, even if the developer resurfaced it, you wouldn't want him to do it until that 1 year.
Once the city owns the road, absolutely, the city can make it. The city council can make a decision as to what they want to do,
absolutely,
with the road.
You can budget for that. Mm-hmm. You sure can.
You got to come up. Sorry about that.
I just have one question. We've been talking about an independent person to verify what the problem is. If the developer is going to hire somebody to take a look, to try and figure out what the problem is, CSRA, whoever they got, and they've already stated that it's off the table that if they have to repave the road, and not saying that they have to repave the road, but if it weren't off the table, then they found something that was wrong with completely with the pavement or whatever, the mixture, whatever it could be. If that's off the table, then how do we know that the report that we get back from the people that they are looking at it would have even considered that as a potential fix?
You're talking about by the independent person?
The independent person is going to look at their report. The independent person is not going to go out and actually look at the road. So the report they have is being paid for by somebody who's saying that we're not going to consider repaving the road, therefore that report could be skewed.
Well, I don't think that our independent person is limited to the CSRA report. I mean, I think we're entitled to verify whether that takes inspection, you know, whatever is necessary. We're going to independently verify the findings of CSRA. So I mean, the city's committed to that.
Is the city going to send somebody back out to retest those soil samples to check that? Or are they going to go off the CSRA?
We need to let them look at the testing to see if that's appropriate. If the testing's not appropriate, again, we're going to have to go by what that independent person tells us. Mr. Morris has said that the CSRA folks know how to test the soils correctly. Again, we need to get the report. The commitment that we can make tonight is, you know, we've heard the citizen saying that you want an independent verification of those results. Whatever takes to independently verify that, we will do that.
Right.
We're not going to live within the confines of the 8.5 by 11 report.
Okay, but you understand my concern.
I do. The person
paying for that report,
very legitimate,
is going
concern
to tell them that I don't want to repave that road and I'm not going to.
Well, I don't know what they're going to tell them, sir. I just know that we're going to independently verify to make sure what the recommendations are. Our recommendations are going to have a sound road.
Right. Well, he said several times in front of council tonight that that was off the table, so I assume if he told y'all publicly that he's telling them privately.
It's off the table based on what he knows now. But that report could come back and require a level of repair on the road that tears the whole thing up. I mean, we just don't know what that report is going to say.
Right, and we're going to independently verify that.
All right, now, if it comes back and that's the aspect and he refuses to repair it, then what happens?
Well, we don't have any
indication of that, sir, right now. We'll cross that bridge if we find ourselves at that bridge.
I took it as a citizen of that road that that was just not an option, period, based on what he said when he said that that's off the table, repaving that road's completely off the table.
Yeah, I don't get that, sir, because we're doing this independent verification.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do we pay for the independent verification?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we did that for the summer.
Okay. Yeah.
Our standards, city specifications have a paragraph in there that other tests can be required. It doesn't say who to pay for them, but if it requires independence, we can use that paragraph. And Mr. Morris and I discussed that earlier today. So that is in our standards to ask that.
Sure. And that's why we did the sonar test, which we said we would do. We did do it.
And that's the kind of independence we need.
And I think the message that council wants to send to the citizens is we hear you, We understand what you need, and we'll do our best to get it. And at this point, the next big step is that study to see exactly what's wrong. I hope that tells us what we really need to do to completely fix it.
Absolutely. We don't like it any more than you do.
And we apologize for 4 years.
We're certainly sorry it's lasted this long, but, you know, in engineering things, you're not always sure what's going to happen, especially when you get in a soil situation, and electrical too, for that matter. So, I was electrical. I don't know anything about the road work. But, obviously, it'd be hard to figure out at times. And we think it would be so easy, but I think we've got the best people that we know working on it. Anything else to... I don't see anything else on our agenda. If I missed something, I haven't, I don't think.
Does the city manager's got any updates?
Just a couple. We have heard from Fresh Market. We have heard from Fresh Market, and they did receive a temporary certificate of occupancy. That's so Fresh Market can put in their upfit for inventory purposes. And then Roma's, the restaurant, I think is imminent. They're really motivated to open up sooner rather than later. And then in the paperwork that I provided you, we've got the Governor's Rural Economic Summit Monday downstairs. Sunday night from 5:30 to 6:30, there is a reception at the Wilcox, and City Council is invited to that.
Okay.
That's on the 4th of March?
That's the summit, and then the actual drop, it is Sunday night, the 3rd, from 5:30 to 6:30. And South Florida Department of Commerce wanted to know that Council was invited to that.
Rumors are running rampant about what's going into South Park. Have we heard anything? I mean,
have I heard anything?
Yeah.
There's a lot of rumors about what's going to go into South Park.
Planning director's still here?
We don't have anything on file.
Well, they don't have to come to us. Well, they have to come to us to let us know. Can the planning director update us on anything? Nope.
No, he's got his hands up in the air.
Okay.
We rehearsed that.
There being no other business, we are adjourned.
Next door neighbor of South Park,
Jim.
I can tell you they are working furiously to get that thing.
Oh, I know they are. But I've heard
Jim, yeah.